Welcome to a very special edition of The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Jim Valley. I don't have to tell you, mental health is a critical issue in our state and across the country. And I'm very proud to say that in the upcoming legislative session, the Senate Republican Caucus is making mental health in its funding a priority. Talking today with three senators who are sponsoring bills part of our mental health package for the coming session. That includes Senator Steve O'Bann from University Place, whose district includes Western State Hospital. Also, we will talk today with Senator Randy Becker, who has a great background in health care and mental health. And, of course, one of the key budget people in our caucus, Senator John Braun from Centralia, who is the ranking member on the Budget Ways and Means Committee. He's sponsored many bills dealing with the funding of mental health care in our state. And now I'm going to hand it off to my colleague, Loudon Espinosa.
I'm joined today by Senator Steve O'Bann from Pierce County, who serves as the ranking member on the Senate Human Services and Correction Committee that looks at policy around mental health. It's no surprise that Washington State has faced some significant challenges in this area. Senator O'Bann is deeply involved in this work since joining the Senate and chairing that committee in the past and having passed some notable legislation. Senator O'Bann, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So, can you discuss briefly some of your work on this issue in the past, and then give us a preview about maybe what you think still needs to be done?
Sure. So several policy initiatives that I've worked on directly or prime sponsored are when we're dealing with some of our more acute mentally ill, the kind of folks who really need inpatient treatment and are not seeking it out on their own. We call that the Involuntary Treatment Act cases. You'll have situations where family members know that their loved ones desperately need that inpatient treatment, but because of their mental illness, they're not seeking it out. And so we needed a procedure for allowing those family members to go directly to court and get an order to commit their loved ones to get the care they need. So I sponsored legislation that gave them that right, that power to seek on their own help for their loved ones. That's called the Joel's Law. And another very recent initiative is we need far better, more effective crisis care services for those who are suffering from mental illness. Somebody who's suicidal, for example, they need care now, and emergency room is not the place for them. They need an emergency service that's designed specifically for them, a crisis triage facility. And we're putting one in Pierce County. I got funding for it at the state level, and we're rolling that out now in our county. That will be very helpful, very important for people who are suffering from some sort of a mental crisis. It can be something less severe. It can be severe, but it's a place for them. So those are just two things I've worked on most recently.
Excellent. And basically, in your estimation, why do you think we're in this position to begin with? I know the Senate, when the Republicans had control in the Senate, they made some significant investments as far as dollars go into mental health. So it doesn't seem like it's a lack of trying or investment. But in your opinion, I guess, you know, why are we here? Why are we having this conversation about mental health?
I think there's several reasons. One is, as you've alluded to, the legislature, before we got control at least of one branch, the Senate, had really neglected financially this key area that's a state responsibility. And next education in the last 4 years, that's been our second most highest priority that we put a lot of funding into. Western State Hospital alone, we put over $250 million into that facility and for upgrading positions and paying more money to attract better healthcare professionals. We know now it wasn't so much about money since we lost federal funding. It was a lot about management and other dysfunctions at that facility. But that has been, nonetheless, a priority of Republicans and I think of our friends across the aisle as well.
Excellent. Yes. So, switching gears a bit, you recently held a press conference in Tacoma, unveiling, looking at a list here, what appears to be a quite substantial package of policy bills, maybe some funding components aimed at improving the state's mental health system. Can you, at a high level, maybe run through some of those proposals and maybe in your mind, how will they help address kind of the overall challenges in delivering mental health here in Washington State?
Yeah, sure. I'd be glad to. I mentioned the Joel's Law. This is sort of a corollary, but much more expansive program, and that would be to set up guardianships where loved ones who have adult children, others that they care for, who are on the street suffering from a mental illness or are under the influence of a drug like heroin, who are wasting away, frankly, because of their illness. We need the opportunity and right, really, for family members to step in and get them the kind of care they need, even if they don't necessarily understand that they need it. When you have children, you want to act out of love and care for them, and sometimes they don't get that they need that kind of intervention. And so my bill would set up a guardianship that would be administered by the courts, but would require care for an individual, even if that included inpatient treatment or putting them in a detox facility so they could start getting a control over their heroin addiction or their methamphetamine addiction. I think we need some new tools. We need to be inventive, innovative, and we sometimes need to just intervene and help people who are not helping themselves. Another initiative we talked about yesterday is that we have cases here in Washington of violent predators who are being released from Western State Hospital, being released from the Special Commitment Center. They've served their time, and so now are being released by judges. I'd prefer they remain where they are, but judges ultimately make those decisions. And we need far better treatment facilities for those individuals than what they're getting. They're being released often into residential settings, into what are called adult family homes that were never designed for violent offenders. And so I have a bill that will expand the kind of support in the community that is needed to protect the community better, and in secure 24-hour monitored facilities. So that's a second proposal. A third is we need far more individuals in the mental health workforce. If you talk to anyone, they'll say, we can't seem to hire enough mental health care professionals, psychiatrists, and others who can provide the kind of care that our loved ones need in our communities. And so I have legislation that will incentivize that people going into that vocation, and then make it easier for them to strengthen their professional certifications and get those much more quickly. Another piece of legislation, Senator Braun's bill, would actually expand the funding for new facilities in our communities. We know we need to move some beds out of Western State Hospital. That's was a directive of the governor, which I agree with. And we have to have places for those new beds. And so Senator Braun talked about a really exciting new way of raising funds, $500 million for that purpose. And then Senator Becker talked about bringing quality mental health care into our schools. So those were the things we talked about. We have a number of other initiatives, but those are probably the most important to mention in this discussion.
Excellent. And on that note, one thing I'm noticing in the kind of the bill options here is a lot of it is focused on community and empowering, families to make these decisions. Is that kind of the overarching theme with some of these policy reforms that you're looking at is, you know, less institutionalization, in kind of a centralized area, more, family and community focused?
That's right, because the last thing you want to do is take someone out of their community where they have their support group, where they have an existing relationship with a counselor, and then remove them and put them in an institution. And then if they're better, then you bring them back to that same community ideally. Why not just leave them there in the first place? Have those facilities, those services in their own community, and they don't have to be shipped off to Western State or Eastern State Hospital. So that's a real focus of our initiatives, is to make those local. And you want to have parents and others engaged in the healthcare services that are being provided to somebody with mental illness. So they need to be there and present and providing all the supports that are necessary for someone who's trying to get over their mental illness.
Right. Excellent. And then finally, a lot of bills, a lot of legislation, as you know, folks who are listening to this, you know, the process as it works its way through has kind of that effect of not letting things go through. So I'm assuming that these bills, you know, they work in tandem. They're attacking issues that are of importance. But, you know, if three make it, if four make it, I guess, you know, have you started reaching out to stakeholders about these, getting feedback? I mean, is everybody pretty much in agreement that these are definitely areas that need to be addressed?
I've been saying for the last number of months, now that we've dealt almost entirely with the K-12 McCleary issue, the underfunding of education for a number of years. We still have some tweaks to do in the 2019 session. But we have additional resources, fortunately, coming in from our state revenues. And I think the number one issue needs to be spending on mental health. I think that's a bipartisan belief. And so I expect to have support from my friends across the aisle, from the governor's office and from others, to make mental health and recovery from substance use disorders our top priority in this next session.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Senator Roban, for joining us. We appreciate your insights, and we look forward to the legislative session and see what great work you guys can get accomplished.
Thanks for your interest.
Thank you. We're going to discuss a pressing issue as we look toward the 2019 legislative session, the state's response to mental health. I'm joined this morning by Senator John Braun from Centralia, the ranking member on the Senate's Budget Committee Ways and Means. Can we discuss, in your view, some challenges at the state level when it comes to mental health delivery?
Well, that's a broad question. What we know is that folks around the state are suffering from mental illness, and they need and frankly deserve a humane and timely treatment. But Washington as a state really isn't delivering on that. In fact, we rank near the bottom of the country in community mental health capacity. We've had trouble with our state hospitals being one of our state hospitals being decertified by the federal government, resulting in the loss of about $48 million that went towards the treatment because we weren't running the facility well. And it's been at the top of the list for a number of years now. We've made some progress in the operating budget, providing additional funding to the state facilities, but we really haven't gotten past, you know, the use of these old institutional settings that everybody agrees are not the right way to treat these people. We need to move towards community-based mental health treatment facilities that allow folks to stay in their communities, close to their families, close to their providers, and get treatment more timely and hopefully address challenges before they become crises.
Excellent. And I did want to point back to your work on the budget. Having been the lead for the Republicans for a number of years, you oversaw some significant investments in mental health. You know, aside from funding or maybe more funding, what else do you think needs to be done?
So a lot of folks will talk about the need for more funding, and certainly there are places where we can do additional investment. But in my mind, this is not a funding issue at this point. This is really about proper management of our facilities and really moving towards a community-based approach. And just to be clear, this is a broad bipartisan agreement that we should create community mental health facilities and deal with this closer to, you know, like I said earlier, closer to families, closer to providers, closer to your communities. So it's not that we don't have agreement. It's just that we're not executing on getting this done. You say you want to treat someone closer to your home or to my home or closer to their home. You have to have the facilities, and these take time. You don't just flip a switch and all of a sudden a 16-bed evaluation and treatment facility occurs in your neighborhood. It takes several years. It takes funding, of course, from the capital budget, but it takes several years to plan and build this and to staff it. And we need to increase that pace. And in fairness, we've had some significant investment in the capital budget and the operating budget over the last 5 or 6 years, but particularly on the capital side, we simply are not going fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
In our state and all other states, you kind of have two types of mental health treatment beds. You have forensic and civil beds. And forensic beds are the ones that are violent. Typically, they have some sort of a criminal conviction, and those would not go into the communities. Those would stay at some sort of centralized or facility like Western States. That's where they're at. Right now, they're housed at Western State and Eastern State, and those would stay there. We're not talking about putting those folks in the communities. And certainly, there are some civil patients that haven't been convicted of a crime, but do have violent tendencies, and you do need some high risk centralized treatment. But just to put that in perspective, there's 720 roughly beds in use at Eastern and Western States right now, plus another 85 to 100 on the wait list. So roughly 800 civil beds. Most of those are not violent. Most of those could be treated in their communities around the state, closer to their providers, closer to their families, closer to their communities. And I think that's the right thing to do. It's the most humane thing to do. It's the cost effective thing to do, because you allow treatment more rapidly, and you can get ahead of the crisis. So you avoid the severe crisis, which ends up with these same folks in the hospitals and the jails, which is obviously difficult for them and their families, but also very expensive.
Right. Well, good. Thank you for that. So, and then, you know, back to kind of the original thing and the underlying bill that we're talking about with expanding mental health treatment capacity. You sponsored a bill, it's a bipartisan bill. Talk a little bit about what that bill would have done.
So in the last session, we had Senate Bill 6468, which proposed a bond authorization of $500 million to expand community mental health facilities around the state. So what this would mean, it would be a bond authorization now outside the debt limit. It would have to go to a vote of the people, and they'd have to approve this. I think that's the right way to go. I think I'm confident the state would approve this, because I think broadly folks, either through their own families or their friends or their work associates, they're familiar with the challenges we face in managing mental health, and they understand the need to get after this. So I think that I believe it would be supported, but ultimately the voters would decide that. And if it was approved, then that would provide $500 million to spend on building community mental health centers around the state. And just to put this in perspective, and these are broad numbers, I said before, roughly 800 patients in civil beds at our state hospitals. These would be replaced by 16 bed units around the state, and that's 16 bed is because that's what the federal government approves. So that's the maximum capacity. So if you do the math, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 facilities around the state. Now, I'm not saying that's the exact number, but you can get the sense. If you put 50 facilities around the state, you'd be able to put facilities close to most everybody in the state, so they could stay, again, close to their homes, close to their families, close to their providers, and get after helping these folks early in their troubles, or early before it gets to crisis. And I think that's the right thing to do. I think voters would support that. They see this as a large issue, and one that we are, as a state, are not getting after in providing the humane service or treatment that these folks deserve.
And then, of course, like we said, it was a bipartisan proposal. It didn't, make it to the governor's desk last year, but I assume you and other members in the caucus are working hard to kind of build consensus, fine-tune it, and you think it'll get across the finish line this coming session?
I am optimistic. I mean, we're 1 year later, so the crisis continues to build. Until we can build these facilities, until we can address the issues we have at our state hospitals. And just to put that in perspective, the federal government has decertified Western State Hospital. That means that a substantial amount of money previously funded by the federal government, $48 million, we're no longer going to get that. And there's no viable path to recertify the state hospital. You basically have to start from scratch. And it could take years and hundreds of millions of dollars to get recertified. So that's not likely to happen soon. So the pressure to build community-based facilities and to move the civil patients into these facilities is even stronger. We will work in our caucus, of course, and across the aisle and with the governor's office to promote that we get this started, because it will take several years to build a facility like this. I have an example in one of my communities in Centralia. We have an ENT facility, and from the time it was funded in the Capitol budget, budget a little over 3 years ago, and by the time you get through planning and permitting and recognizes it's partly state-funded, partly privately funded in our case, and of course you build it and you staff it and you get it on. It took 3 years to get it online, and that's not because anybody was slow. That's just given our, you know, the way things work. I'm not defending it. It's just the way we have to recognize it's going to take several years to get these facilities in place. So we need to get started sooner rather than later. You know, the governor a while back put out a deadline. We want to have this all solved by 2023. Well, 2023 is not as far away as people think. And if we don't have hard, specific plans on how we're going to do this, that's just a dream. It's not a you might call it a goal. I'd call it a dream if you don't have a plan to get there. And this is a plan to get there.
That's Senator John Braun from Centralia. It's time now to talk about the mental health crisis from a patient perspective. And we do that with Senator Randy Becker from Eatonville. Now, she has experience, and her passion that she brings to the table deals with access and early detection. She spoke with my colleague, Loudon Espinosa, about her background in the healthcare field.
I think it's important to put a perspective on why people actually have a passion for and want to get better health care out to people. I worked in the medical field for 24 years. I started as a receptionist, so I checked in people in a walk-in clinic that were coming with every kind of illness, injury, or life-threatening situation that you can imagine. And then I was promoted into billing and then promoted into management. And I was a medical practice administrator for a number of years in different types of settings. And so the one thing that I found when I got down to Olympia is that we do a lot of talking about getting access out to the patients. We talk about all these things, but we've really talked about it the entire time that I've been down here. The one thing that we did in the healthcare arena, no matter where I worked, it was the number one focus was the patient. That is what we need to continue to do. It may be your family member. It may be my family member. It can be your mom, your dad, or any of your family members. We need to make sure that the patient is considered number one.
Regarding your policy work, can you talk a little bit about some of the bills that you've worked on in the legislature, in regards to healthcare access? That may be helpful for folks to understand kind of, you know, where your work has been focused. I understand telemedicine has been a big issue for you.
Telemedicine is a huge issue for me. If you look at where I live out in Eatonville, it's almost an hour for me to get to a hospital. As a legislator, I saw that we had a huge need for patients all around the state to have access to care. And we talk about physician shortages, we talk about nurse shortages, we talk about all of the shortages that we have, and yet we're not fully utilizing those providers that are available. And if we look at telemedicine and what it may bring into our communities, is that specialist and that doctor or a nurse practitioner or your physician assistant for illnesses that may be chronic, follow-up visits for surgeries, monitoring health conditions like diabetes, et cetera, rather than having to spend the patient having to spend all their time driving to get to a doctor and then waiting for that 15-minute appointment and then leaving, we should be able to bring these healthcare services out to our communities. In doing so, I've had a number of different bills. A collaborative was formed trying to work on how we would better utilize the telemedicine to get these services out to the people. We've talked about how they're going to be paid, how the paid for, and we've defined locations. So it's a massive undertaking that has taken a while so far to do, and we're only just beginning.
And on that note, the Senate Republicans have unveiled a pretty comprehensive plan to address mental health. No secret that Washington State has got some significant challenges when it comes to mental health access and service delivery. And part, you have a bill, it looks like it's part of that package, utilizing your expertise in telemedicine. Can you discuss a little bit about what you envision this bill doing, you know, how it will work in improving mental health care access?
Okay, well, it does nothing to change what we're already accomplishing in mental health by getting actually psychiatrists in locations via telemedicine treating patients out in my district, for example. But what this new bill does, I'm so excited about it because it has taken me about 3 years with a goal of what I wanted to accomplish. But how then do you think backwards and accomplish that goal? And so now, with suspense ended, this bill is actually a very well thought out bill that will provide mental health services to students in schools, junior and senior high schools. This is something that I am most excited about. It has happened because I have gone to multiple types of meetings trying to learn everything I can about telemedicine. One thing I've learned is that there are ways to train doctors out in communities so that they can treat those chronic illnesses, et cetera. What this bill will do will effectively identify and treat children with mental health issues that actually will help them prevent the loss of critical development, academic and emotional maturity. It will help with a truancy, and it will get them the help they need. I think that what we need to do and focus on is creating a model that identifies students that early on that may be experiencing something situational at home, something that may be something more than that, or something that may lead to the fact that they're suicidal, may lead to the fact that they are intending to harm other students, or maybe they need to be hospitalized. But right now we have nothing in place other than a counselor that may go to one or two or three or four schools. And this would actually then have the community, the school community, working together. And the really intriguing part of this is that it would provide a consistent and a recurring and a peer-to-peer support for these people that we train in each of the schools that can provide that initial intake and then have a conference with a psychiatrist to see if that student actually, you know, what level is it? Is it just situational or are they in more trouble? So this puts in place something that is just unheard of anywhere around the whole U.S. This bill is more of a prevention type of bill than having to do with the other bills. The other bills are when they get to a stage that we need those facilities and we need those treatment options for the patients. And those are something that critically we critically need those today. But this bill will actually work on the prevention of those people needing services into the future, or less invasive surgery interventions. So I look at this bill as a way to prevent the growth of more and more mental illness, and an opportunity to get help out for those families, for those people that don't know how to ask for help because they know their children are having problems. This is something that all of these pieces and all the Republican bills will all fit together to fulfill the entire continuum of mental health care.
Thank you, Senator Randy Becker, and thank you to my colleague, Loudon Espinosa. You can find the Senate Republican Caucus online at our website, src.wasstateledge.org. You can also follow us on YouTube and Twitter at WashingtonSRC and on Facebook at Washington Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Jim Valley. This has been The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.